Every Monday afternoon on the Sports Cage, join Barney Shinkurik and members from the Saskatchewan Roughriders coaching staff with a breakdown of game matchups and the very latest from inside the Riders' locker room. On August 12, defensive assistant coach Jordan Linen was our guest on the Riders' Coaches Show with guest host Chris Mazurek. Mazurek, thanks for your time, coach. How did you spend your bye week? Linen, I was one of those guys fortunate enough to get away. Vancouver's home for me, so I was back in Vancouver for the bye week and spent some time with the family and the babies. Mazurek, did you get a chance to watch any of the games over the weekend? I would have thought differently of the West Division. Had Edmonton lost, had BC lost, and we knew someone was going to win, Calgary and Edmonton, it looks like there's a little bit of dog with a little bit of fight in the West. We may not go 17-1. I'd like us to, but I don't know. What did you think of the games on the weekend? Linen. Ultimately, I think all of us coaches, and I'm sure the players as well, are fans of this league. You're going to be tuned in, even if it's for half of a game. We were watching. I was watching. Like you said, I think the biggest thing is that no one in the West is ever out of it. When playing Western opponents, you have to run the gauntlet to get to 15-2 or 17-1 or whatever that may be. Much like we expected, the West put on a show. Honestly, I think all the games, even the game with Ottawa and Toronto, were electric and fun to watch as a football fan. It definitely was a good week for the CFL. Mazurek. When you get a 46-42 game final score, no matter who's playing defensively, when you're watching the film, is that an extended session the day after? Because there's probably a few things in there that may need correcting. Linen. Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. I think you either have the mindset of, hey, we got a lot of corrections, and we're going to get in here, break this down, and figure out where we can be better. Obviously, with a score like that, there are lots of places to be better. But I think sometimes, too, some coaches will look at it and say, you know what? This is an aberration. Let's just flush this and move on. That's a lot of clips to try and work through. That's probably a 60-65 plus snap game for the defensive players on either side. You try to get through it as best you can and make the corrections on the big issues. But I think more often than not, you're like, all right, let's just move on and forget this one and learn from it. Mazurek. A lot of us sit in staff meetings at work, and we have limited attention spans. In your experience, what's the maximum amount of clips you can show a group when we're making corrections? Before you lose them, is it under 10? Is it 10-15? What's the sweet spot for the message to get through without getting lost? Linen. I think it varies by position group. Each position group is a little different. For me, I work with the DBs primarily, and I think our capacity is about 25 clips with the DB group. Then it's all right, now it's Charlie Brown in the background. So we try to be concise with that. But I think in the best ways, I believe Coach Mace and our defensive staff do a good job of just making sure we give you the meat and potatoes and then any additional corrections we can get with you one-on-one or small group meetings. Our guys do a good job, too. They're so willing to learn type players across all positions and position groups that they will watch the whole game regardless of whether we watch it with them or not. So sometimes we'll sit in there, and as we're going through things and making corrections, we might skip two or three clips talking about something or joking about something. However, we usually get through the whole game as a whole. From there, if more specific things need attention to detail, we also touch on those. Mazurek. The Riders are 7-1, but the seventh win, I'm going to say even as crazed fans in Rider Nation, we thought if we played well in all three phases, we could go to Montreal and win. We weren't talking a 20-plus point blowout out of the Alouettes. The defense is really playing well. Number 8 in the pass, but number 1 against the run. Why has it been so hard for opponents to run on this team this year? Linen. Again, I think it's a testament to Coach Mesa's philosophy, but also, you know, across all position groups on the defensive side of the ball. We all take a bit of onus in that, right? We all believe we can affect the run game or the run defense. I know specifically on the back end as DBs, we look at it as an opportunity to be in the run fits to be able to affect the end because more often than not, traditionally and fundamentally, you're not accounted for, right? It's, you know, the front seven is the D-line. It's the linebackers. But in our philosophy, Coach Bell's philosophy, and Coach Mesa's philosophy, it's having our DB show up in the run game when and if needed, as well as in situations where an opportunity presents itself. Our guys are willing tacklers, which is a big part of it, and our guys are more than eager to make a big play that can potentially create a turnover or turn the tide, right? We want to be able to affect the game positively. And for us, obviously, in the back end, it hasn't been, you know, great sometimes in the past game. So for us, it's, you know, extra plays or extra reps that we get to be in the run fits and affect the game positively that way. So that's kind of how we've been able to show up and why I think our defensive, you know, prowess, at least when it comes to the run game, has been as good as it's been this year. Mazurek. You may agree, you may not. I think Marcus Sales is playing some of the best football of his career. These past five games, he is everywhere, and he's got it on lockdown. Is that just me seeing things or is that how you're seeing it as well? Linen. No, absolutely. I think, you know, we laugh because, you know, a year ago or a year and a half ago, he was cast away by BC and thought to be too old or, on the back end of his career. I think Sales brings a completely different dynamic to our secondary and really our team, you know, from a leadership standpoint, from a want-to standpoint, from a professionalism standpoint, and all of those things. But, you know, too, to talk about what you said, like, I think you're seeing glimpses of greatness again, from Sales, I think to be, you know, average eye to the fans in Ryder, you know, in Ryder Nation, they see what he's doing. He's going to be the first one to tell you, just like we will be the first ones to tell you there are still so many plays out there that he's, you know, he's leaving out there. But in saying that, you know, that's, again, him being held to a high standard as far as the league itself, as far as his position across the league, I don't think there are many players better than him at his position in the league, period. That being said, we're always going to keep pushing him and trying to see if we can get more. And I think he's making himself day in and day out to get more out of his ability, what he sees, and what he's doing. So, you know, I think he's definitely a great player, but I think he's striving to be even better than that on this back half of the season. Mazurek. The Roland Milligan effect is that he's the best defensive player in the CFL. And we saw that last year, but spilling over into this year, what does that do to everybody else on the defense? You know, when Zero's out there, because it does, he's game planned around, which means it's like the Bombers and Willie Jefferson, you have to game plan around it. You've got to know where Milligan is. How have you guys been able to take advantage of that as a defense, knowing that while Milligan is going to draw some attention? Linen. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all know, and I think it's not a secret now, league-wide, that, you know, Zero is a special player. Obviously, you know, he's recognized as such as being the defensive player of the year. But I think, like you said, the game-planning component from the opposition is obvious and is notable. So, you know, we work concepts, we work coverages, we work schemes to create opportunities, right? It's easy to say, well, they're just not going to throw at him. Well, yeah, that's obvious, and that's good coaching on a basic level. But, you know, our jobs as coaches are to put him in positions to succeed and to, you know, more or less manufacture opportunities for him. And I think we're doing that. We're going to continue to do that. We still feel like we can get him some more opportunities, some more chances to take, you know, risks, calculated risks and make plays to get back to, you know, the stats that give him the credibility of who he is, you know, in our building. And I'm sure even league-wide, he's still the best player or one of the best defensive players in this league, far and away. But, you know, obviously hasn't had as many opportunities or maybe hasn't made the splash plays that everyone was used to making because of last year. So for us, you know, what we try to do is, you know, counteract the scheme that the opponent gives us by creating and manufacturing ways to get him into certain things that will give him a chance to make a play on the ball. Mazurek. The next four games, Bo Levi Mitchell, Vernon Adams Jr. and Zach Caleros. Zach Caleros, Lord willing, he's healthy. This is going to be a tough four-game stretch. And as far as Mitchell and Vernon Adams Jr. go, they're halfway through the season. Who's the mop? Those are the names are coming up. They're both great. But for different reasons, let's start with Bo Levi this weekend and the Hamilton Ticats. Bo's a gunslinger, was a gunslinger. But now he's going through four reads. It's not just the long ball. You've got to adjust to the new Bo. He's still got old Bo in him. But this new Bo, he poses, is it more problems or more complex problems than maybe a one-dimensional Bo of 5 years ago? Linen. Yeah, I honestly think most, if not all, especially defensive coaches, have to scheme them up every week. We'll tell you, I think Bo is playing the best football of his career. And that's, you know, that's a lot to be said about a guy that was as dangerous as he was in Calgary. I think Bo is seeing the game at a great or high level. I think he's, you know, dealing with getting the ball to his guys and his playmakers and giving them a chance to, you know, be guys for him. And I think that he understands, like, there's a little bit of we keep joking here about there's a little bit of, you know, don't give a crap attitude from Bo and in a good way, like, I'm just going to cut it loose and whatever happens is whatever happens. I'm still going to be calculated. I'm still going to go through my reads. Like you said, you know, be a little more consistent with going through the full progression than maybe he was early in his career. But I think Bo is at a point now where he feels confident in his ability, confident in the system. He has the confidence of that coaching staff, which I think was a huge, you know, turning point for him coming off of last year. And he's got playmakers around him, and that's a great receiving core with a lot of really good, you know, athletes and playmakers. So I think it's a little easier to cut it loose when you have guys and confidence that you can put the ball in the air and they will make a play for you. So yeah, I mean, you know, hats off to Bo. He's a great, you know, leader, great quarterback, but I think we're getting the best version of Bo and as a fan, that's what you want to see. Mazurek. You mentioned the receivers, the Hamilton Ticats. Kenny Lawler has been kept in check pretty much for the past three games. You're never going to shut him down completely, but he hasn't gone off. He's had some good games against the Riders in the past when he's been a bomber or an elk. How do you, maybe it's not a simple answer. How do you game plan against an elite talent like a Kenny Lawler? Is it more than one guy on him? Is it special zone? Like what do you got to do to try and contain him so he doesn't blow the game open? Linen. I mean, you know, like you said, it's a complex answer, but I think more than anything, I had the privilege of coaching him in Edmonton for 2 years, and I know Kenny really well. I think one thing about him that's underrated. Yeah, you see the spectacular catches, yards, and touchdowns he's had this year and even years past. But I think one thing that goes underrated is his work rate or his, you know, his relentless work ethic, both in practice and in game. And you know, so that's something that we tell our guys all the time. Like you can't just think because maybe for three quarters, he hasn't had a catch that it's over for, you know, for Kenny. Kenny is going to be there when the game is on the line, when the chips are on the table. So, you know, for us and how we approach it, it's not going to be, hey, we only worry about Kenny Lawler. Like I said, they have a great receiving core. We'll pay attention to everybody who's there, but we will put an emphasis. We have made an emphasis on how we prepare of knowing where he is pre-snap and just saying, okay, this is the, you know, these are the one or two guys that, you know, more often than not the balls go in their direction or they're the, you know, the play side of a call. That's how we combat that. We're focused on knowing where he is at all times, but not solely on taking away Kenny Lawler. We want to be complete in terms of how we cover and scheme, so we're also looking at the full picture, including the entire formation and personnel groupings. Mazurek. It's the Riders Coaches Show with Jordan Linen, brought to you by Steelcraft Doors and the Saskatchewan Roughrider Foundation. You've signed first-round global draft pick Sylvain Yonjouin today. He's originally from Belgium, 6 feet 4 inches, 260. Not a petite guy. I played 5 years at Georgia Tech and had a free agent tryout. I believe it was with Carolina. How excited are you guys to get him to Mosaic and inside the building? Linen. I can tell you one thing. You won't miss him in the hallway. He's a pretty big cat. But again, you know, we're excited. We're excited to get him anytime you can get your first draft, your first round draft pick, in the global draft in the building. I think it makes you better. And, in a frame like that, you know, a guy like that will help us instantly on special teams. So, you know, we're excited to have him. I think it's awesome to get him here. Finally. I know there's been, you know, communication back and forth throughout the last few weeks because he was, you know, on the NFL circuit trying to figure out if he would get another opportunity. Still, I think his attitude and mindset, even just talking to him and passing over the course of the day, is that I want to come in and help this team. I understand you guys are in a great position in the league, but I'm here to, you know, fulfill my end of being a draft pick for you guys. And you guys believe in my ability. So, you know, that's what we're excited about. I think we're excited about obviously the intangibles and, you know, obviously it was productive in college, but now he's got a chance to come in and help us, you know, in the back half of the season where those guys are going to make a huge impact. Special teamers will be the ones that help us, you know, position ourselves for where we want to be at the end of the year. Mazurek. 6 foot 4, 260 pounds playing special teams. Is he going to be a gunner on punt teams? What's the camp majority going to have drawn up for this guy? I don't want to see that guy running down my side of the field. I'm getting out of the way. I'm not standing in for that. He has some 185 pounds of defense but is a poor defensive back. That's got to try to cover that. Oh, Samuel Emelis went down. There have been some injuries, but the depth has been there. It's been the next man up. How important has it been? This is year two of the Corey Mace system, and there's consistency and continuity for players in all three phases of the ball, knowing what to do. 'Cause last year, everything was new. And I know BC is going through that, Edmonton's going through that, where if you're trying to learn a new system, that's one thing, but you're also trying to play fast, which at times you can't. How comforting has it been for you to see going? Okay, we've been through this. We know the system, trust in it, and it has to make the job a little easier at times. Linen. Does it most of, yeah, I think this year has been a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a sigh of relief in the sense that, you know, the relationships we've built over the last year to a man and a, to a coach in the building have allowed us to have the trust in each other and the belief in each other that no matter what happens we have the right people in the room. We have the right people in the building already. You know, you want to add a few pieces here and there and obviously want to ensure that you continue to have the depth, especially in the back half of the year. But I think right now, where we're at as a team and as an organization, we have some really good players that aren't even playing yet. You know, some guys that are on practice, while some guys that are maybe in backup roles are guys that are nursing injuries, that we know when those guys get an opportunity or when those guys come back from injury, we're even better than we are right now. And, you know, we've had some success with guys stepping up and, you know, hats off to our receiver room. That room is extremely deep. And there are guys in that room who haven't even had an opportunity yet, but will be given a chance. I would assume we'll be able to make the most of it. So, you know, I'm again, hats off to our personnel department, you know, Jeremy O'Day and, you know, Kyle Carson and then what they do in terms of making sure we have the right people, but also Coach Mace, man, he does a really good job of pushing these guys during the week and over the course of the season to be able to say, hey, you're one step away from being an integral part of what we're doing. And the other part of it too, is, you know, guys knowing that even when they're not playing, they're still loved on, you know, we try to do our best to make sure every Peace Squad guys, you know, feeling like they're a part of what we're doing and, you know, rewarding those guys for their efforts throughout the week. Cause that's, you know, like I said, those are the guys that at any given point could be the guy starting for us. So, yeah, year two has been a blessing in that regard. I mean, obviously, we're still battling a ton of issues and injuries, like a lot of teams are, but you know, again, we look around the room and we're on, you know, if this guy's got a player, that guy's got to play, we're going to be all right. Mazurek. I've always wondered, as a coach, you're a Canadian from Vancouver. So when the last Saskatchewan Pirate comes on at Ryder Games, you probably can't outwardly do it, but do you sing along? I mean, it's part of the nation. I mean, you can't not, but you don't have to answer this question. You can take the fifth, but are there times you catch yourself getting into it, too? Like the fans? Linen. 100%? One thing you naturally do being here, if you're here long enough, is you become a part of what Ryder Nation is. And I think that's one thing. That fandom, even as a coach or probably even as a player, you find yourself in those moments being like, yeah, I'm happy to be a part of this. You look around, and you know, we're excited for this weekend to look around and just be like, yeah, this is home. This is us. We have all these people who believe in what we do. And you know, the fourth quarter stretch and all those things have made me really appreciate where I work. So I definitely catch myself sometimes being a little more into it than I probably should be. Mazurek. Well, if the TSN cameras ever catch Coach Mace coming up to be like, come on, what are you doing here? Jordan Lennon, thank you for this. Oh. And as far as the game on Saturday, I think there are a couple of thousand tickets left at last check. Good. Decent weather could be a sellout at Mosaic on Saturday. And it's an early start to, as a coach, cause you've got to adjust your life. A 1 o'clock game, as opposed to a 5 o'clock game. What do you like? Do you like getting the work done early in the day? Or do you like waiting around until 5 o'clock in the afternoon? Linen. I think the 5 o'clock games are perfect. Me personally, I'm not a 7 o'clock guy. I don't like waiting all day. I think the anxiety starts to set in, but the 1 o'clock games are a little different. I do like, you know, being able to finish the game and still have a little bit of your day left, but, you know, kind of routinely it's like, I'd rather be able to get to the stadium, you know, maybe watch a couple of, you know, cut-ups, just kind of refresh my brain and put my game, you know, my game mask on my thought process in the game. But, later in the day, you know, that's kind of how that goes. But earlier in the day, it's like, hey, you get here, and it's, you know, you're getting out for warm-ups, and then you're into the building trying to keep your heart rate down. And then you get in the box, and it's go time. So, I think the 5 o'clock games are perfect, but I'm never going to say no to a 1 o'clock kickoff either. Mazurek. It's nice to be home for dinner with a win. Hopefully, it's number 8 on the season. Jordan and Linen, thank you for doing this. We appreciate it. It's the coaches' show. We do it every Monday. The Saskatchewan Roughriders will take on the Hamilton T-Cats on Saturday, which means we will start our Ryder Nation pregame show at 1 o'clock. We're going to be on the air at 10, pregame show, noon kickoff at 1 with Dave and Luke.